What we'd like to do is share with you some of our concerns. By the Lord's grace, we've been able to travel around the country, visiting various brethren, and we are deeply concerned with when we hear phrases or hear situations of the pastor's name is being diminished or not talked about at all, or not mentioned or put to the side, or a lot of the present truths that we hold near and dear to us are not talked about anymore, especially with reference to the second, third, and fourth volume. We rarely heard discourses on those subjects now. Growing up, many of us probably heard that was a normal thing. I've never given this type of a discourse in public before. I'm hesitant. But I do this because I love you dearly and love the truth. That is the most paramount thing that we have in our lives, isn't it? That's what we love. The Lord, the truth, and the brethren in that order. So what we'd like to do is share some of our concerns. But more importantly, we'd like to share with you, hold fast. Hold fast to that which you have. Many of you have been at our convention this past August. This is an extension of our convention. And our experience with this, I had a very difficult experience a while back of where one of the brethren that helped me come into the truth, he was our shuttle bus taking us to various conventions, left the truth and has nothing to do with it now. I was very sad for about 3 days. That was the thing I just couldn't get out of my mind. And this is what the Lord led us to. And so I'd like to share that with you. Okay? Our theme text is "The Time Will Come." This is taken from 2 Timothy 4:3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate unto themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires." That's the theme that we're going to be talking about. Itching ears. Okay, I gotta coordinate because my slides on the computer are one slide ahead. So, okay. But this is the scripture that we're going to talk about. I think this is the reality that when we go not only in this country, but worldwide, of wanting their ears tickled for something new. We've heard this many times throughout our travels around the country, of the brethren wanting new information, wanting new doctrines, new thoughts that are coming in. And this is very disconcerting to me, and I'm sure to a lot of the brethren. Okay, will not endure sound doctrine. What that means, wholesome teachings, their desires for something new, having their ears, itching ears, endless curiosity, insoluble desire for variety. Well, there's an interesting, I thought a very, very powerful reprint article. It's from 5970, and these are the pastor's words. And this was very hard-hitting to me. "At no time in the church's history has our great adversary been so active in multiplying false doctrines and diverting attention from the truth by introducing unprofitable, irreverent questions as at the present. Just when the exaltation and glorification of the church are soon to be accomplished, and when the faithful are about to be received into the joy of their Lord, every device is restored to beguile them from the reward and to frustrate this future of the divine plan. To really frustrate any part of the divine plan is impossible. God has purposed to take out from among men a little flock, a people for his name, a royal priesthood, and such a company is surely being gathered. But whether all of those now running the race will win their prize and will surely be of that number is an open question." Meditate on that statement of the pastor. So what I take away from that, he's admonishing us. We are so close. Like what we talked about was brought out yesterday. We are so close to the end. We're the 11th hour. We're down to the final minute. Or another way to put it, on the racetrack. We're coming around the final end. We're down the home stretch. The end is in view. Hold fast to the truth that you have been taught by. Hold fast to this precious truth that we've been taught. Paul experienced this in Acts 17:19 when he went to Mars Hill. This is nothing new. This is, in taking hold of him, they led him to Atropolis, saying, "We are able to know what is this new doctrine that which you are speaking. For you bring certain strange things to our ears, therefore we are reminded to know what the meaning of these. For the Athenians and strangers were those who spent their time in nothing but what? Endless curiosity and examining and arguing just for argument's sake." Okay. 1 Timothy 4:1. "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Neither give heed. Our time is not our own if we have dedicated it all to God, and consequently we have none but to spare for the investigation of fanciful false theories built upon other than the foundation that is laid down in the doctrine of the Scriptures." From there's some various reprint articles, 59-70. That's the pastor's word. So stay focused on learning the truth. Questions of mere speculation. Acts 25:20. Questions of strife of words. 1 Timothy 6:4. Vain jargon or foolish talking to no profit. 2 Timothy 2:14. Of gendering strife, 2 Timothy 2:23. Have you heard this? Also, one of the things that we've heard the phrase, "All you need is Christ-like character." That's all you need. That's not the whole picture. There's a very powerful statement by the pastor. This is from the second volume, page 28, 29. These are his words. "It is a serious error into which many fall to suppose that a knowledge of God's doings and plans are of little importance. That the graces of Christian character are all that God requires, and that these are better conserved by ignorance. How different the Scriptures present the matter. They counsel us not only to cultivate the graces of Christian character, but to preserve constantly that condition of heart which will enable us to what? Discern the truth. Especially the great truth of the Lord's presence when due. This is one of the hallmarks that separates us from Christendom, isn't it? Is that the Lord is present now. This has been preached from day one from our pastors to this day. It is an essential truth. And when dispensational changes take place, a knowledge of dispensational truth is quite as important in this end of the age as it was at the end of the Jewish age. Those who do not discern the truth when due do not receive the favors when due, and therefore miss out on a lot of the blessings." Take my point. Did Jesus teach Matthew 5? No doubt. Did he also teach Matthew 24? No doubt. Did the Apostle Paul teach Matthew or 1 Corinthians 13? Yes, he did. Did he also teach us 1 Corinthians 15? Yes, he did. Did the pastor teach us about the Lord's presence in the second volume? No doubt about it. But did he also teach us about the four quarter marks of love in the sixth volume? Yes, he did. Our point is, And one more. The Apostle Paul taught us the whole counsel of God. It is essential, I believe, for our well-being to learn not only the importance of the doctrines of the truth, but the essential underlying exclamation point, very important, what's the other word you want to put about to it, of Christ's character. All the doctrines we learn should help us develop the Christ-likeness. Let me ask you another question. Was the Apostle Paul persecuted because of his character? Far from it. Was our Lord persecuted, or the Pharisees went after him because of his character? No. It was one of my favorite group of brethren of the Waldenses. It's the toughest part and the most brutal part of the gospel age for our brethren. Were they persecuted because of their character? The Catholic Church even said these brethren were exemplary, above and beyond good examples in their character. It's because of what they believed and stood firm in it, they called papacy for what it was. That they were persecuted, hunted down. Wherever they lived, the papacy went after them. My point is the importance of this harvest truth. What separates us by the Lord's grace from Christendom? Is it because we're of our character? Not mine. It's what we believe. Remember what we talked, what's a heretic from yesterday? It's what we believe. If we don't speak up and hold fast to the truth, how can we be a shining light in a dark place? It's what we believe and hold fast to what we believe that will draw the world's attention. I say to the brethren, hold fast. Hold fast to the truth that we've been given. What's it mean? Let me explain. To stick to, firmly bound, cling, cohere, adhere to, attach. Don't let it go. This is what, I don't know about your life, but this is what keeps me going. When I learn the doctrines, you look out the window, like what Brother Larry was expounding yesterday. You look out the window. It's what we believe. Joshua 22:5. Only be very careful to observe the commandments which the law which Moses, the servant of God, commanded you. To love the Lord, your God, walk and keep his ways, keep his commandments, and to him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Hold fast, be careful to observe. Love the Lord with the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his commandments. To me, Joshua said it all. He balances the doctrine and the character together in one verse. Both are essential for our well-being. And even then, I think we're only two-thirds of the way there. We're missing a component. Service. The three of them combined together, I think, will make the whole man in Christ Jesus. Learning the doctrines, developing Christ-like character, but putting that doctrine, putting our faith, remember the manna we had, I will show you my faith by my works, putting it into action. Then we become a whole person. We become a whole new creature. I command you, this isn't my words, I command you to do them. This is another version of Joshua 22. I command you to do them, and with all your soul. But take diligent heed, walk in his ways with all your heart, cling to him. It's like you wrap yourself around our Lord and you don't let him go. Proverbs 4:4. And also taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is okay? No. That which is good. Hold fast. This, I love this scripture. Psalms 119:130. The entice of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. By the Lord's grace, we have entered into His mind. We are up, communicate, can you? Sometimes it's overwhelming. God has opened up His mind to us. He has entered it, asked us, come, let's talk about it. Let's reason. We talk to God. We reason with God. He's opened up our eyes from His plan. We understand who God is and what His purposes are. We have the same goals, the same privileges, the same desires as He does. Why? Because we've seen it in His Word and we cling to it, we hold to it. It is part of who we are. The vision that we've been given, Habakkuk 2:2, write down the vision. Is this vision in your brain to where it regulates everything we do? Does it motivate us to hold fast to that vision despite the difficulties of life? Despite the trials of life? Does this truth motivate us to say, thank you, Father, for these experiences. Thank you for opening up your mind to us. That we can see where the why, the where, and the outcome. And the only way you know that is by studying the truth. It's clinging to the truth that we have been taught. Is it impossible for a plain, is it possible for a plain Christian without any special learning to comply? Yes, we reply that it is possible that the desire for truth is paramount to every other desire, so that the inquirer will also bend his circumstances as to make opportunities for study and investigation. He shall find and rejoice in it. Read Pern article 1205. That I thought was very powerful. How much are we cutting out our day to find time for the study of the truth and for service? Start off with a half hour. It's hard. But it doesn't take much. Read Pern article 4750. The Lord's people should not receive what they hear without proper examination. They should prove what they hear. They should use good judgment as to what is supported by scriptures. The end for which they should prove what they hear is what they hold fast. Everything that stands the test applied by divine word and proves it to be in accord with the Holy Spirit and whatever will not stand these tests should be promptly rejected by them. Our test always has been. Does it test the time? Here's our scriptures. Yes or no. Simple as that. But the only way you know that is to understand and learn what the scriptures are so you can remember. Scripture came to mind. I think it's Hebrews 5 where strong meat is for those that be able to discern good and evil or right and wrong. Well, how are you going to know what's right and what's wrong unless you line it up? Here's the scriptures backed up by what the pastor says. Does this line up to be truth? Yes or no? It's that simple. And if it doesn't, get rid of it. If it's not in harmony with the harvest message, why keep it? It's that simple. Maybe I look at things a little simplistically. In the sixth volume, page 232, the early church sat at the apostles' feet as learners. Yet, without blank, unquestioning minds, but with a disposition to try the spirits to prove the testimony. 6 volume 232. Remembering, he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds will be manifest that they walk in God. John 3:21. That which is good, that which stands the test of the divine word, shows itself to be in accordance with the Holy Spirit. Deacon Article 31, 37. This is one of the joys when we were in Africa. Of seeing that wide-eyed wonder of learning the truth for the first time. And to see that and to witness that, I wish I could capture it, bring it home and feel you could feel it. And you saw the joy that it brought the brethren. That's what we'd like to capture. That wide-eyed, first-time learning the truth. The excitement. To me, yesterday's discussion, when we heard that, you know, one asked that could be doom and gloom, it's falling apart. That's the greatest news we've heard. Why? Because of our understanding of the truth, saying, here's why our Lord is reigning, taking control, bringing down this old order for what? A better day's coming. That's excitement, brethren, when you learn this and hold to it and cling to it. Favorite text. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, there is no light in them. That's the test that the early church used. They didn't have the New Testament. It was being written. So what did they go to? What did our Lord go to? He went to the law and to the prophets. Here's the lineup. Okay, the Berean brethren. It says they were more noble than the Thessalonica brethren. Well, that Thessalonica brethren must have been pretty good students to say they were more noble then. But they checked out Paul. What did they use? The law and the prophets. That's all they had. Paul. Mighty Apostle Paul. They checked him out. And I'm quite sure if they wasn't in harmony, Paul would have got an earful. But he wasn't. That's the point. It takes the elder giving the truth or teaching the truth, but also it is very important for the ecclesia, the members of the ecclesia, to check out to make sure the elder is teaching right. It's a two-way street. Both have a privilege and responsibility to each other. That's the way the Lord's building the ecclesia. We help each other learn. We have no intimation in the scriptures that the Spirit of the Lord leads His children through any other medium other than His Word. This is the mind of God that's been given to us. To be established in the present truth signifies that I have carefully studied and thoroughly proven it by the law and the testimony. It's the combination of taking our Bibles with our volumes that we learn the truth. I don't know of any other way. It's the two together, not separate, but it's the two combining together that we understand and embrace the truth. Every doctrine from the foundation up, step by step, be brought to the test of the word and the testimony, all for which are cannot be found, thus saith the Lord, must be promptly rejected, and to all which His word testifies as true. Hold fast. Once you have proven it, you know it, you've tested it out by the law and the testimony, or by what, the harvest message, it's yours. It is truth, it is part of you. Hold fast to that truth. Hold fast to the present truth that we've been given. 1 John 4:21. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see if they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Test the spirits. But here's the method how we do it. This is how we learn, is by going back to our volume and back to our Bibles, combining the two together. Our responsibility. Every spirit, mind, theory, influence, doctrine should not be received with a blank, unquestioning minds. You have the mind of God. Use it. But try, the apostle declares that the responsibility where God places it, on the ecclesia. Put the teachers to the proof. Try them by the testimony which is known by to come from the Spirit of God, the Spirit of revelation already given. This is found in the sixth volume, page 278. It's our responsibility, like what the Berean brethren did. They checked out Paul. Just at the same token, it's the responsibility of the ecclesia to make sure the elders that are elected are in harmony with present truth. Would you, when you go to school, would you want a teacher that's qualified? No. You want a teacher when you're in school, that this, like at this college, that is fully qualified, knows their subject, and is well versed in it. Same thing in an ecclesia arrangement. It is vitally important for our new creature development that who we elect as our elders, and I'll expand it out to our conventions also, that who we elect, raising of the hand, it's our responsibility that those brethren are teaching in harmony with the present truth. To prove, test, prove, not by your outward appearance and claims, but by the word of God. It is the duty to decide whether this doctrine is scriptural or unscriptural. It's part of our responsibility to check that out. Every doctrine should, from the foundation, I'll repeat this again, step by step be brought to the test of the word of God and his testimony. For all these can, for which cannot be founded, thus saith the Lord, must be promptly rejected, and all to which is testifies as truth. Vitally important. God has provided us the method on how to do that. Everyone presenting himself as a teacher and claiming to be a servant of the truth must be tried, tested, so as to whether his preaching is truth or error. The word of God must be our standard. Again, repeating that. Sixth volume, page 295. For we have been partakers of Christ if we, the beginning of stand firm. Let's see. For we have become partakers of Christ if we, the beginning of our assurance, stand firm to the end. Hebrews 3:14. Our faith, without wavering, lest we do not hold fast to our faith, we will lose everything. We should scrutinize our hearts daily, day by day, to make sure we are still loyal to the Lord and to the truth. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from evil. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Brethren, hold, behold, I come quickly, behold, hold fast to that which you have so that what? No man can take your crown. Hold fast to this truth that we've been given. Hold fast. Do not let slip the relationship to which you, this blessed relationship, all to which his word testifies as truth. And this is one of my, another text that I thoroughly enjoy. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Brother, every item of faith we have can be testified by at least two or three scriptures. It can be done. And when you start stringing those two or three scriptures together, especially when you can go Old Testament to New Testament back to Old, you see the harmony of the truth. Then when you find a volume reference to back it up, that, to me, is extremely exciting. This is establishing our faith by holding fast two or three scriptures. This is the basis of what we live in. We say we are Bible students. How well can we do we understand our Bibles with the volumes? We need the both. Remember then how you received and heard. Hold fast. 1 Timothy 6:19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. O Timothy, guard the deposit. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of falsely named science. Or Moffat puts it, O Timothy, keep the securities of faith intact. Avoid the profane jargon and the contradictions that which is falsely called knowledge. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Guard which has been committed unto you. Brethren, you realize we have been given a sacred trust. It's this truth that we have been given. I like the word trustees. We have been entrusted. This truth that we have has been passed down to us. From God to Jesus, to the apostles, to the messengers, the faithful brethren, to us. It's part of our heritage. Guard the sacred trust. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, you've been entrusted with this truth. I have taught you. Guard it well. Don't let it slip from you. There's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of distractions out there. Timothy, stay focused on the truth that I have given you. Therefore, my brother, stand fast and behold the teachings which you have been taught, whether by word or by letter. Paul to the Thessalonica brother. That was only a 3-week-old church. And look at the doctrines and hard truths that Paul taught them. Incredible. Paul is telling them, hold fast to my teachings that I have taught you. I commend you for always bearing in mind, me in mind, and for maintaining the traditions that I have passed down to you. This was intriguing. Or another way of saying it, stand fast so as not to be shaken or troubled. Hold so that you will not let it go. Adding nothing, subtracting nothing. So when we learn the truth, when we hear something that's contrary to it, we will not take our faith. We will still hold fast to that which we have been taught. Does this scripture look familiar? This was our theme text from our convention. So says Jehovah. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And what? You will find rest for your soul. There's a lot of detours out there. Jeremiah has said, stay on the straight and narrow path, brethren. Hold fast. We don't need new and improved. We need to stand by the old path that has been passed down to us. Or another way to put it, the Lord said, my people, when you stood at the crossroads, I told you, follow the road your ancestors took, and you will find peace. Oh, this is interesting. What's a tradition? It's not like when you hear on Fiddler on the Roof when he says, what's a tradition? I don't know. Why do you do it? I don't know. It's a tradition. We have our tradition. We did it this morning, reading the man of God. Okay? A tradition is a safekeeping, a ritual, a belief, or an object passed down, still maintaining the present, but with origins in the past. The word traditionally means to transmit, to hand over, to give forth. Now go to your handout. Okay, now this will make sense. So I was wondering, all right, what traditions have we have? On the left, see if I can get this thing working there. Here we go. We have some doctrines, ransom, consecration, sin offering, covenant, natural Israel, Christ's return, restitution, resurrection. Okay? up top. Moses. Well, I'd say representing the law and the prophets. Jesus, Paul, Pastor Russell. Have these doctrines been passed down? Yes. Ransom. Well, go. You have the handout. We'll go real quick couple. Exodus 21. Moses. Jesus, Matthew 20. Paul, 1 Timothy. Fifth volume. Consecration, Leviticus 8. Matthew, Jesus, Matthew 16. Paul, Romans 3, 5. Past tabernacle. Go down here to natural Israel. Genesis 23, or 32. Jesus, Luke 13. Paul, Hebrews 11. Pastor, third volume. Take any of our doctrines, line them up, make a chart like this. The point is, what we have learned has been passed down to us. All the way, we can trace our doctrines, our beliefs, all the way from Genesis through Revelation, piecing the scriptures together. This is part of the heritage that we have, that we can prove what we believe and why we believe it. Revelation, how far do we go? Oh. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in. I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. So sup with him. Feed him with what? Heavenly food. This is our Lord talking to us now. Laodicean is our time. Our time frame. What is Jesus doing to us? This truth that we have, he's received it from God. He's passing it down to us. These harvest truths that we have come directly from God to Jesus to us. Who are we to say anything differently? This is what our Lord has provided for us, this bountiful table. The feast, the meat and due thing, due season, things old and things new. It's part of the old past that we have been taught. What a blessed feast on the truth that we have been enjoying. And when you imagine that Jesus is feeding you, you are at dinner with Jesus. Jesus is talking to us like what we do at dinner time or at lunchtime. We get around, we talk truth. Well, put our Lord right there. What is he doing to us? He's talking to us and he is feeding us with heavenly manna. He's saying, I am present. Here's what I am doing. This harvest work, I am gathering my elect. I am tearing down this old order. I am taking care of natural Israel. But I am taking care of you. That personal communion that we have with the Lord. Can you put a dollar sign on that? Can you put a dollar sign on the truth that we have? Brother, realize the impact of this scripture. That Jesus is feeding us meat and due season. So when we hear anything contrary, we have to say, alright, is this coming from our Lord? Does this fit in with the harvest truth? Does this fit in with the law and the prophets? If it does, great. If it doesn't, reject it. It does not belong in our faith structure. 1 Timothy 1:13. Model yourself on sound instruction you have had from me in the faith and love of Jesus Christ. Now follow the example of correct teachings. Hold the pattern of sound words. That's for Moffat. Paul is saying, alright, we have these sound teachings. How is this conforming or helping us to develop Christ-like character? Which is absolutely essential, underline exclamation point. But it takes an understanding of the doctrines to develop this Christ-like character. How do we live these doctrines that we have learned? How do we put our Lord's presence in our daily lives. How do we put, when we say Jesus is the Lord of the harvest, how does this motivate us to do the Lord's work? How does this learn when we say Babylon is cast off? That's a pretty major doctrine. Okay, how does this affect our life? How does this affect our life when we say the kingdoms of this world or the smiting of the image of the end of Gentile times? How does that, that's a very important doctrine right now, isn't it? How does this affect our life? How is this going to affect me come Monday morning? We have to go back out and do what we do. How do these doctrines fit into our lives? Without an understanding of the fact of the Gentile times, how can you make sense of what's going on out in the world? You couldn't. It gives us a reason. Now we understand, oh, our Lord is we're in the grinding down and we're waiting for the blowing away process, aren't we? To work no more. Okay? We have, on a practical level too, we have faith because the world say, who's in control? Well, we could say our Lord is. How do we know that? Because of our study from our second volume and third volume, don't we? We understand thy God reigneth. Jesus reigns. Therefore, he's in control. We don't have to worry about all this stuff. We know the outcome. Why? Because we have studied from our fourth volume, the establishment of the kingdom. We know that. So we don't have to go into a panic attack when we see the world falling apart. Because we know, because of our doctrine, that we have learned, loved, and hold near and dear to us. Oh, okay. It's all going to work out for the best. You don't have to worry about it. Rooted, Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in him and established, underline established, in the faith, as you have been taught. Then the care abound with thanksgiving. That you have the privilege of being rooted and grounded in the most precious thing that there is. It's the mind of God. Rooted and built up in him. Roots of faith push deep down into the knowledge of the divine plan. Some of us have been out west and seen the sequoia and the redwood trees. They're big. How do they stand tall? How do they get hurricane winds. How does an oak tree out this way stand tall? Their roots are established deep in the soil. So when the winds, the storms come blowing through, the oak tree bends, but it doesn't break. Is our faith so well established so that when the winds of life come rushing upon us, when the hurricanes hit. It's interesting, and you see pictures, you see palm trees standing up in Florida. But is our faith strong enough and rooted deep enough that we'll be able to withstand the hurricanes of life? How are you going to do that? Except to be established and built up in present truth. It's the only way. Because everything around us is falling apart. This present old order, like we established yesterday, we know is falling apart. So the question is, are we going to be swept away with the winds that come our way? Or are our faith so strong that we will be able to stand there and bend, not break? Established in the faith, so established in the promises of God, that no winds of doctrine would overturn his faith. That's how important, one of the reasons, why learning now, while we have opportunities to establish ourselves in the current truth. That is why it's so essential, in my mind, to take our Bibles, take our volumes, and harmonize the two. And learn from what God has taught us and the method in which he has taught us. Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation, here's our basis, of the apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Look at how we build our faith. It's combining the law and the prophets with the apostles, with our Lord Jesus. That's why I thought that this chart is when you go through, you can see the harmony, take a doctrine, and run with it from Genesis through Revelation. We do with Acts 3:19 through 21, don't we? Restitution by spoken, by just a few of the prophets, one or two? No. All, A-L-L, all the prophets. And it's, you can take that doctrine and go all the way from Genesis to Revelation, touching just about every book of the Bible. Is our faith so well established that we'll be able to hold fast to the truth? Our faith will be challenged. Well, and it's a good thing, because God proves to see who is loyal and who is faithful to what he's given. That's a good thing. And he corrects us if we get off the path, which is a good thing. Because how do we learn? We don't always get it right the first time. Sometimes some of us need a little thump on the head. Okay? But if the heart's desire is to harmonize and learn the truth by the apostle, by the prophet, by our Lord Jesus, we will be firmly established in the truth. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it's not one or the other. We have to have the both. One, doctrine leads to good character, not the other way around. It is important to blend the two together in our lives. How does this affect me when I read the doctrine? Brethren, let us hold fast. We won't see each other. Many of you will go out east. We'll go back home to Columbus, or some to Florida, Detroit. We won't see each other probably for a while. But this I say to the brethren, hold fast to that which you have, which you have been taught by our Lord Jesus through the pastor. Hold fast to these old paths. These doctrines are the most precious thing that we have. This establishes us so that we will withstand the winds and the trials of life. This is part of who we are. How motivated is these doctrines to get us in life? How exciting are these doctrines to us? That's something each one of us will have to answer. But it is essential, I believe, to our well-being that we hold fast to the truth that has been passed down from us, from God to Jesus to the 12 apostles to the messengers, and I'd have to add faithful brethren that have gone before us. Where would we be? My sister Karen and I often think, where would we be without looking to faithful brethren that have gone before us? We need them. We have been entrusted with this truth. We have this truth to help us get on the same program, the same page as our Lord. That's what we want, isn't it? To do His will, to enter into His mind. So brethren, as we go home,